This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Kior. Today I'm speaking with Kenneth Wilson. Kenneth, how are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
Great. Kenneth, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I orchestrate the operation of Kohler Company's digital supply chain, the center of which is the company's dam system. And I've also recently taken ownership of the communications resource libraries. Yeah, that's how I'm involved in with digital asset management.
How does an American manufacturing company use digital asset management?
Kohler is a multinational manufacturing company. We have a very diversified group of businesses that are part of Kohler Company that make up the company. Most people know very well the plumbing, kitchen, and bath businesses. We also have a hospitality group that has the American Club, which is a five-diamond hotel that is in Kohler, Wisconsin, along with many golf courses that make up Destination Kohler. There's two golf courses in Kohler, Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run, along with a golf course in Scotland, the Old Course Hotel. So that makes up the hospitality group. But we also have an interior section headquartered out of Chicago where we have some furniture businesses, Baker, McGuire, a custom tile manufacturing company called ANSAX out in Portland, along with, can't forget, our global power group, who has a number of companies that nameplate that they operate throughout the world. But all those companies make up the Kohler businesses, and we handle a lot of the communications for all of those different businesses. Right now, we use our dam system to store a lot of the final marketing images and the graphic layouts for most of our North American businesses. The global businesses also use the system to some extent. A lot of the products are U.S. SKUs that are also sold in other places, but some of our global businesses have SKUs that are specific to them. We're actually trying to work to encourage them to supply our system with those unique to their location assets. The dam system that I manage will house the packaging images, the web images that are used for the catalog, as well as the layouts for printed literature, catalogs, the sell sheets that go to our showrooms, and also archives digital imagery that serves to document the history and happenings of the company. So this documentary and archive footage is mainly captured digitally now, but we've begun efforts to digitize years' worth of the history that was not digital, both still and video, and that will all make its way into the system as well. As the digital supply chain, if we look at it as a whole, the front end of it, we've got a lot of different content creators. Like I said, we have our own photo studio, so we've got photographers who create content, and at the front end of that supply chain, you know, I try to shape the standards for file formats and making sure things are consistent there. While we have our own staff photographers or the different businesses globally, we'll use a variety of photographers. So trying to make sure everything comes in a consistent form. And on the back end, assets from our BAM system are syndicated to a content delivery network so that they can be published to, you know, our websites and to the web catalogs, and also manage that process.
Kenneth, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with DAM?
Personally, one of the biggest current pain points that I have comes around tracking renditions of assets that are headed for both digital and print destinations. It's tricky to figure out what should be a version when changes are made or what should really turn into a derivative asset. And that's probably one of the biggest pain points that I currently have, and it's really about maybe educating the art directors on what it means when they version something versus what it means when they create a brand new asset. With all those businesses, we've got a lot of printed stuff that we still do, but there's also a really big focus on digital, of course, using the web, and a lot of our businesses are starting to do website redesigns, so that'll continue to frustrate me this next year, but I think that's one of our biggest challenges right now, is just trying to make sure that we don't have a lot of duplicate content that varies so slightly that people can really do a search and be confident in the results that they find within the dam and not really have to sort through, oh, this one's slightly brighter or this one's slightly darker. And I think one of the biggest successes that I've seen in dam lately is starting to overcome the notion of simply being like a storage repository for the organizations that adopt it, more than just like a search tool to find things that already exist. I know one way we're trying to get over that is the reuse of things that we've already shot. An image that was shot for our hospitality businesses could be reused in some sort of marketing material for the power businesses. So that return on investment there. But also, one of the bigger successes is DAM's ability to shape workflows. One of my major initiatives this year is to implement a review and approval workflow that we call creative review in a digital form. It's something that our creative groups already do, and it's largely on paper, but trying to move that into a digital space, I think, is the big win. One of the major benefits I think we can get out of it is being able to inform content creators, our photographers, being able to inform them how successful they are shooting to a shot list by having those discussions by art directors around the images and the content that they're creating, having some sort of record and being able to say, based on this set of images, you can do this slightly differently, and these images will be able to serve a wider range of uses. And I think that's maybe one benefit of that workflow type of creative review and approvals implementation.
And these are very common issues that many organizations have, getting collaborative tools, to your point, and also getting tools to not only deduplicate and control renderings and version control, but also to know what the single source of truth is for brand consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. That single source of truth is another pain point. A lot of organizations, like I attend conferences, and a lot of the organizations that are attending may be in search of just starting the DAM process as far as finding which software vendor to use and how to set it up and how to govern it and those kind of things. And, you know, that's always a battle with whoever holds the purse strings. But I think one of the things that I may have to be an advocate for within Polar may be a greater emphasis on like a PIM system, the product information management tool, and how it integrates with a DAM system. Because we use our DAM to drive that syndication of assets out to our web catalog, all those images have to marry to information about whatever's pictured. So all those catalog images, the data from that should come from a PIM. And right now we're kind of taking that information and inserting it into our system manually per asset. We have an opportunity there to automate that more by establishing a single source of truth for that product information, so that when even product information changes, like if something gets discontinued, all that information can flow automatically into the DAM system. And so that metadata is more dynamic, living, breathing kind of a metadata.
Yeah, that's, again, a very popular and hot topic in DAM is to get product information management, to your point, tying with DAM so you don't have to reproduce the data from one system to another and have the master record of your information, your catalog items and all the SKUs, product codes, etc. in your PIM and sync up with the DAM. So your master record is your PIM and the repository of all the imagery that may or may not be active, to your point, is in your DAM. There's several vendors that are very interested in making that easier for companies. You're not the only organization out there that has this issue, which is great to hear. Kenneth, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
So that's a good question. I think I can share maybe a little bit of how I got there so that maybe that helps those aspiring to become DAM professionals and maybe even inspires those who are. There's a lot of talk about convergence. One of the topics at a recent DAM conference was, are we all becoming each other? And in a way, I think the convergence kind of helps us to push past some of the boundaries that we run into. I think that the breadth of knowledge has definitely been a factor in the success that I've had with DAM here at Kohler. Before being in this role, you know, I was pursuing a career doing photography professionally. So I've got an understanding of what the photographers who are delivering creative content to be stored in this repository, kind of a frame of reference for what they're thinking or doing. But in addition, before that, I studied at the University of Michigan. I studied industrial product design, and I was in a school of art and design, and I was able to take all of the photography requirements as well, you know, in my time there. So the design thinking, the industrial design thinking, the problem solving, the creative problem solving, I think those have really been helpful in coming into Kohler, a place that already had an established DAM system, and being able to see what was already happening and trying to come up with new, more efficient ways to do some of the things that they were doing. I know our studio's been digital for probably the last 10 to 12, maybe 15 years. So there was a lot of existing content when I got here, but we're creating more and more images each year than before. The design thinking has really helped to push the boundaries and to come up with creative new ways of looking at solving the workflow problems or how content comes into the supply chain and how it moves around and how it really completes a circle for the asset lifecycle, I like to call it, where, you know, it may go out to a vendor, but it's got to come back and it lives in the system. And how does that asset end up becoming an archive that we reference back historically? This year, I'll be collaborating a lot more with our corporate archivist as she digitizes a lot of the historical content that she has in her archives. And our history is increasingly becoming captured digitally. We'll still have physical artifacts, I think, in archives in the future. But I think a lot of the speeches that may have been written 60 years ago that we have a paper printed copy, they won't have a digital equivalent. So trying to preserve some of these things so that they are useful working assets now but turn into archives later, I think that design background has really helped me there. But even before that, I started off pursuing an engineering degree. So coding, computer science, writing code, that is also a really good set of skills to have when implementing a system, working with IT to resolve and troubleshoot issues. So I think that convergence is something that will really help shape and push the boundaries of the industry. And I guess that's what I would share.
Great. Well, thanks, Kenneth.
Thank you.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, go to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast has over 150 podcast episodes for you to listen to, including this one. Visit anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.